On tonight's podcast, we look back at the Sheffield Wednesday game down at Hillsborough at the weekend. We have a look at what's going on at Twitter. We have a special guest in the studio, club news, and then a hot topic to discuss. I'm Simon, and this is the Progress with Unity podcast. Good evening, Adam. How are we doing?
Yeah, I think I should say a good intro that time.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to be appreciated. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, no flare up of the gout, although I am having an alcoholic beverage, so I'll have to have more spinach when I get home.
Well, that's it. And a friend of the show has brought us some nice cold beers to record with. Kieran, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. It's not just because we're short on numbers tonight that we invited you. This is already planned. Then we told them that you were coming, and everyone seemed to make an excuse.
I can't blame them.
So what we're going to do, first of all, is we'll look back to the game at Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday at Hillsborough, where possession-wise the game was pretty even. Sheffield Wednesday had more shots. Surprisingly, less on target than the Latics. We beat them 3-2. Corners... pretty even. Sheffield Wednesday committed a load more fouls than we did, and the score finished Wigan Athletic 0, Sheffield Wednesday 1. And in all fairness, a bit of a scrappy goal. But we'll go back into the first half, and I thought Wigan were the better team in that first half. Out of two poor teams, I think Wigan were the better of the two.
I thought we held our own, for sure. I remember sort of getting under the stand after half time and having a chat with a few of the guys, and I think we all felt that there was 3 points for the taking if we gave it a go.
Yeah,
it felt like that's where we're at, but obviously that's not what happened.
No, and it was a pretty much winnable game. The one frustrating thing I'm going to get off my chest straight away was an incident with Josh Windass breaking towards us down at Leppington Lane end. And he's been fouled, but instead of, the referee's playing advantage, and instead of just carrying on, he stops to have a dig at Milado. When we'd have ended up 2-on-1 in a pretty decent chance of scoring. And I think it's stuff like that, people keeping their heads and us taking the opportunities when they could potentially present themselves, because we know we're not the best away from home, and we'll discuss that in a bit more detail.
Putting it mildly.
But things like that, it makes me feel that we're like sometimes creators of our own downfall.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I said exactly the same, because the ball actually did come free, and we did actually get away. And our fans started giving a bit of grief to the ref, a bit of the old, you don't know what you're doing. Mm. But like I say, it was Windass who actually stopped and gave it a bit to the lad on the deck, you know. Right, so it was a foul, but it's an opportunity lost, isn't it?
Yeah, because it was a counter attack from a corner, wasn't it, from there.
And we haven't had many like that. We haven't had many opportunities to run in.
And it was breaking well, because we had players in support, and it was frustrating. But, you know, going into the shed at half-time, 0-0, you'd say that, you'd have taken 0-0 at full-time. The game had a draw written all over it, didn't it, really? It was set up for that.
But did it not? I mean, I wasn't there. I was... I mean, that's pretty much the analysis that they gave on Sky, and how he was covering it, and he said pretty even first half, a couple of chances. But was there, I know you said it was heading for 0-0, but was there not that inevitability because of what has gone before that you kind of thought, we'll lose this by the odd goal?
I don't know, because I felt okay, you know, with the defence and everything, Mulgrew, Dunkley at centre-back and Marshall, I felt okay. They weren't really fashioning too many clear-cut chances, were they? There was a few half chances and what have you.
I think what they did do, and you know, I've alluded to this on Twitter as well, what they did do was they attacked us deep out wide. Yeah. So they ran us to the byline. So the left winger kept running Byrne to the byline. Eventually, he got the better of him on one occasion. We get one soft cross go across that Robinson doesn't deal with. And suddenly we're wide open at the back. We're all pinned against our own goal, and the guy comes from midfield. He can walk to the edge of our box unmarked, and you know that's where the goal comes.
I mean, nice question. Why has the ball not been cleared there as well?
Robinson had the opportunity. Yeah. He should have just let it, you know, get it out of play. He tried to do something a little bit different. I think, or he didn't get a good contact, and it led to.
I've just seen the highlights of it. So it didn't look great. Obviously, you were there, but is it again? So we'll talk about after the goal in a moment. But before the goal, was it really just the fact that we've made an individual error, or do you think we were set up wrong again? Because people keep talking about the way he sets up, but tactically looked reasonable against Fulham in the first half. Tactically looked reasonable from what you just said against Sheffield Wednesday. So is it just that we're just players are making individual errors, and then it's the issue with, do we have the plan B tactic if we go behind?
We felt solid, for me,
they got the goal. My initial feeling was that's harsh on us, but it's the reaction, isn't it? And like I said, we're lacking, we don't have that drive, we don't have the kitchen sink that other teams seem to have, that you can throw at the opposition. You never felt like Sheffield Wednesday would pin back in their box under pressure, against the team that were fighting to get a goal. And I think that's what's disappointing. I think when you walk off the pitch, off the ground, and you're feeling a bit down about it, because you think, you know what, for that last 20 minutes, it doesn't feel like we've really given it a goal. And that's not saying people are trying, but we just didn't have that bit of pizzazz.
They don't have that
something special.
You could have walked out with 20 minutes to go and no different. You wouldn't have missed anything.
Yeah. Well, more header, wasn't it? That was more header.
And Sean Pennington on Twitter said, scoring seems to be the problem. What should be done away from home? What does need to be changed? Because like you say, that first half was fine. But we can't be... I think going to get an away game at the minute to get a point will be a great idea, because it stops the rot. But obviously it's scoring goals, but we can do it at home. Why can't we do it away?
I just can't work it out, because it's not like... I remember years ago, and I think it was John Dean back when we were talking a long time, 20 years ago, and we were superb at home, and then he changed loads of personnel away, and we went really defensive, and in the personnel... And that the fans got on his back because of that. We keep playing the same team, and I'm sure he surely can't be saying to all, because did the fullbacks still were the fullbacks still going forward like they would at home?
Not as much. I think Robinson had a few.
He's more Robinson down that left hand side.
But
really,
I think Robinson's only got so many miles in his legs, hasn't he? And I thought second half in particular, he was starting to look tired.
Maybe that's
and there was times shake, where there was grass ahead of him, and you thought, he's not really fancying this. He's put a shift in already.
I mean, I was impressed with Garner, to be fair. You know, Garner puts a shift in. But, and the thing is, in this league, you need to spend top dollar to get a goal scorer. You know, look at Fulham, they've got Mišević. Yeah. You know, they spent big.
Oh, I get that really bit of good luck, like a Pookie.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he was even their first choice. It can happen, but you fall lucky or you spend big money.
Yeah, and he's one of them, so now you're looking through your teams for people to chip in with other goals. Hopefully, Windass will start producing, Pilkington's getting back to full of fitness. And there's a lot of talk on social media about Lowe being replaced and starting. Pilkington in his place. And
well, again, I go back to the point I made before. For me, what we didn't do all last season was get to the byline. You look at the occasions where we did. Pilkington's first game for us, he did a little turn on the side, got to the byline, and basically you've got Roberts walking in at the corner of the box, scores a goal. We had the same. I was critical of Reece James, even, you know, the great Reece James. His crosses were always coming from 45 degrees, easy for the defenders, straight onto their head. Our attackers are having to look over their shoulder. He ended up with, I think, by six games to go in the season, he had one assist. Great crosses into great areas. But
it's hard to score from there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas you got to go back a couple, I know it's at the level below, but pretty much nearly all our goals were Wiltshire byline.
Yeah.
Cross the great crossing,
exactly. Yeah.
And it makes it so much easier for your strikers if you can get that angle.
But look at the strikers we've got. And you know, I'm looking back at, was it Garner that scored against Ipswich, the equaliser? That was the one time Rhys James got to a bar line.
Yeah,
against 10 and men. They've just gone deeper and deeper, haven't they? Yeah.
And Garner at the back post, because we were allowed to attack it, you know, we had...
Clark was coming in on it as well. Yeah. Three or four could have actually scored there, because we'd actually got it. We're not getting to the right... Whereas teams against us, arguably, are getting there too much. Yeah. You know, I keep saying, like, a lot of times, our fullbacks seem to get beat too easily at times, and we're letting them cross too easily.
Speaking to a Barnsley fan on Saturday night, and they were saying, talking about Kiefer Moore, he's asking how he's doing at Wigan, and I said, well, you know, he's looking at breaking that duck. And he's saying Moore was tipped for a big move prior to receiving a head injury, and then obviously was out and come back. And he said when he came back for Barnsley, he never looked the same. Now, what do we need to do for Moore to get his goals? Because he looks like he's one of these players that if he can get a goal...
For me, the size of him, the shape of him, and how he plays, exactly what I've been saying, we get to the bar line and let him run onto it. Because he's going to win headers, you know. And like I said, at the minute, he's being used as a battering ram. He's got the ball up the middle. I think the last two games I've watched him play, when he's come on, he's not won as many balls in the air. I thought there was a few games there, it was phenomenal. And winning everything, bringing us into the game, but I think the last couple of games that he's played, he hasn't even
it'll play on him, won't it? Because no matter what good work you're doing, if you're a striker, it becomes a bit, I think, like the likes of people like Jason Scotland becomes like a bit of almost an embarrassment that you're a striker and you still haven't scored in that game after game after game after game, and it must play on his mind eventually.
I think it's easy for us to sit here, isn't it, and discuss it. What? That's not even what I was meant to be saying. I was looking at the battering ram. That's what I was going to say. He's talking about him. He's been played like that. That's Joe Garner, isn't it? He's the one who goes in. He puts himself about, and that's his job. Moore's in that 6-yard area, in that penalty area, getting himself in. And if you look at his goals, look back at his goals, a lot of them are scrambles, you know, feeding off bits and pieces, and
but how many times have we seen him anywhere near the 6-yard?
But we're not getting into the positions like you said before. Like, I mean, you think of the great headers of the ball, so you think like Shearer, Ripley, Wilcox, byline, crossing in, editing. You know, like you're getting players who get into the.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, you know, these clubs are not going to say, I know, let's because they want to, let's let them get to the byline. You know, these teams will be saying, let's keep them crossing it from there. Let's defend in such a way that means we're not letting them go.
But
past.
It's not, for me, it's not necessarily that as such. I know what you mean. It's like they're not going to let us do it. But sometimes you feel that we're not really trying.
Well, exactly.
So if we're not even going to try...
How many times do we turn back? You know, you can see the grass in front of us, and then we stop.
Very Martinez-esque, isn't it?
But Burn provided a lot of that in League One, when the sort of massive Burn overlaps, little 1-2s, Burn to the byline.
Just jump in there. It doesn't have the same ring as the Neville Beckham overlap, that, does it? The Burn Massey overlap. But I know what you mean. We know Robinson's got the pace to do that, but he can't do that for 90 minutes. Our sole outlet can't be that left hand side, and there's nothing stopping Albion.
He's
getting down there
enough for me though, either in terms of that style. He for some reason he then seems to so he creates the first bit and then he goes inside, and that'd be fine if he hits rocket shots, but then he seems to get inside, and just as he gets to that final point the amount of times we get into what I would class as a well worked position, where you just think that we're just one pass away from breaking through, and then we don't seem to either have that last pass or that last nice little run, and it obviously breaks down.
Well, I thought as well on Saturday, I thought Windass, in comparison to the previous game, wasn't prolific. You know, we're all raving about how fantastic he was when he came back, but I thought his performance on Saturday was just straight back to last season. It was quite anonymous. A few nice
little
touches,
bits,
little bits, but
well, nothing
not
like
that link.
Cardiff and
whether and there's not people getting close to whether Morsi and Williams are not getting close enough to create some movement in the middle, but it didn't seem as industrious.
Yeah.
And that's worrying, you know, second game back in. for me, because you know we are relying on Windass to be able to touch a class
with,
player,
yeah, you know. Yeah, and that's it. So looking back at the Sheffield Wednesday game, for me, a point would have been a good result at full time. We were well worth that point at half time. We just
right up to the goal.
And then from there we just didn't see it through. So a defeat, not the most enthralling of games. Been on BBC and we was in the Premier League, that one to made it onto Match of the Day.
It was better than last year's.
Last year's was one of the worst I've ever been. I had a few nice beers in the tap that helped me out.
Right, I'm going to push you, Kieran, for a man of the match. Who was your star player?
Maybe a bit boring, but I'm going for
Mulgrew. I think I'd have Mulgrew. Adam, did you pick anyone up from what you've heard? Or
I don't really like judging it. I mean, they said he had a solid game again, but I'm not going to. To me, I think you've got to have watched.
Yeah,
extended highlights to give a.
Well, they are available on the club's YouTube page, so you can have a.
Extended highlights of a defeat, though, really.
It's not really the most enthralling thing. So we covered Sean Pennington's question about what to do from away from home. We turn our attentions to Kieran Crompton, who, as you can hear, is back in the studio with us. We're going to go through a few different bits and pieces, and if I miss anything out, Kieran, just feel free to carry on. But let's start off, because we spoke to you last season before you was about to walk backwards to Leeds. You made the news, we've seen you all over social media, and then I've seen a picture of you sat in Leeds in the ground backwards. So talk us through that all and how it all went.
Oh, it was just a fantastic experience. You know, I said I'd done Fleetwood the year before, which was tough, you know, for me. Just walking forwards was an effort. My knees are not in the best conditions, but it was incredible. And obviously, we're doing it for Joseph's goal, which is something that's close to all Latics fans' hearts, I think. The circumstances about which it came, you know, the tweet and everything that everybody already knows, but the actual walk itself was. In the lead up and in the couple of weeks before, you start wondering, you know, can you actually do it? In my head, it was always, yeah, I'll break it down into bits. But there's always a doubt at the back of your mind, is your body going to hold up? But it was immense, you know. I won't say it's the best thing in my life, because I got married this year just before the war, so I've got to be very careful.
We've got a million listeners.
it was incredible, and the whole experience from start to finish, the involvement of the club and the players. When we kicked up on the Wednesday morning, we were invited down to the training ground. There was a breakfast on for everybody. Darren Royal did the tour of all the training ground and facilities, no holds barred, pretty much. The first time I come across Darren, and he was a really nice guy, knows his stuff, and you know, I've got to know he's really got a club at heart.
What did you have for your breakfast that morning? How did you feel up for that was?
A sausage and bacon, bam. But we could have had anything, you know, but I didn't want to have too much. I thought I'll fill up too much, I'll be cramping up or something ridiculous. But no, it was immense. You know, we had Nick Powell in his pink flip-flops layers out. We had the BBC there. But yeah, it was fantastic, and, you know, big thanks going out to Mark Sharrock. I mean, we'd sort of spoken about it a little bit before, and he'd said he'd help and he'd spend some time with me and do some of the directing. But as we sort of set off, I'm thinking, oh, I haven't got anybody here to direct, so I just shouted him through Mark. So I said, what? I said, come, you're with me now. And so he stuck with me for the whole 58 miles. It was absolutely immense.
Did you find, were you keeping up with the pack? Because obviously you're going backwards. It's, or were you ahead, behind? What's the time for you?
We were slower.
Yeah.
Naturally. But I think we surprised people by how not as slow we were. I think the first leg was sort of 7 miles, one of the longer legs, so we're a little bit further behind, and we probably rocked up about 20 minutes behind the last of the people that were walking forwards. And I'd sort of heard some when we got there, there'd been a few rumours going around that I was struggling, which I thought so early on, oh dear. But no, it was
fake news.
It was fake news. No, I mean, it was great, and you know, the way Jimmy organised it, fantastic. And on the break points, it's set up so that you're getting some good distance in, but there's enough of a break, and there's enough time there to relax, enjoy having a pint, whatever. I mean, for me, I ended up with quite a good regime of, we got to the break point to whatever pub it was, and I'd have a shandy, and then basically drink the shandy, and then spend 5 minutes rubbing all the muscles on my legs, so my calves, my thighs, just making sure I didn't seize up at all. And then we'd be off again. So what we tended to do, we'd have shorter breaks than everybody else.
Yeah.
And it kept us in touch. So that, I said the first leg was probably one of the longest. The first leg on the second day was tough.
Did you sleep well?
We went out. We had a couple of pints in the evening just to relax, really chill out. So when we got to Burnley, and then we had a really good time. We went to Turf Moor in the morning. So it was only a quarter of a mile from where we started, but I stopped to walking backwards up and down the stands, and we were out of the side of the pitch. We were presented with a signed shirt. It was really good of those. I had a guy while I was on the steps. I thought, I was just heard of it. Chris Moyles has just spoken about you on Radio X. But I had tweeted him telling him we were going to come into Leeds and we were going to beat him.
which you obviously knew that for certain.
Well, I'd said the entire journey, and when I was on the podcast about 3 weeks before, I'd said that would be our next away win. But no, it was great. But the section from Burnley to was over the hills, and that was the toughest, probably, or one of the toughest, because myself and Mark got cut away from everybody else. We probably were about half an hour behind the back of the pack. But from there on, it was just great. You know, people along the route were great. We had people donating as we were going along. We had one couple turned up in a fancy sports car with the Leeds United shirts on, and said basically they hadn't been able to get tickets for the game, so they put the ticket money in. Which was great. On the other end of the scale, we had a guy who pulled up. I think we were about 8 miles outside of Leeds. Guy pulled up, says, "Oh, I see you're doing this for charity." Yeah. So thought he was going to donate. He said, "Any chance he gets us a ticket?" No, on your back, son. But no, it was incredible. So Darren Royal did the first day with us, and Boycey did the first day. Jonathan did the first 2 days, which was great. We had quite a few people turned up to do the last day with us. We call them the John Terry Appreciation Squad, turning up for the photos.
Yeah, for the photos.
With shin pads on.
To be honest, it's one of those where so many great people and met so many great friends. You know, we have our own little group now, Team Backwards. So we've got Daz Sefton, who since has done the Great North Run, and he's not built for running, you know, but you know, he's done that for Joseph's Goal. Danny Lancaster, who was really struggling on some of this. So what we tended to do was pick up the waifs and strays that were struggling, and were quite happy to sort of sit at the back with us.
Because you kind of need that, different people, don't you? I guess keep you going.
You run out of things to talk about as well.
Between me and Mark, I'm sure he'd have just gone mental if he'd have had a look at my mug for 58 miles.
You're actually looking at each other as
well. Did you have any music or anything?
Because you're chatting, you don't. Part of the training, when I'm just out walking, I'll have music, I'll have the podcasts on, you know, and things like that.
Don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the time flies when you're listening
Which podcast do you tend to pick?
Well, it depends what night of the week I'm listening.
So say you're going out on a Thursday night.
On a Thursday night?
Yeah.
I'll probably have already listened to this one on Wednesday, so I'll pick up.
He listens to it about 9:10, see if it's
tight. It'd be between this and Richard Herring.
Brilliant. So that ends some Twitter debates.
But no,
we'll probably get some more abuse.
No, it's great. Great, obviously, as a spin-off to doing that, I got on the Latics podcast, which was a good experience.
Yeah, good interview. Good,
like, yeah, we've all had a great all been on, and it's all good fun. And
guys are a top bloke, and we still keep a little bit in touch. Yeah.
Friend of the show.
So. Talking of the walk, it's now become an annual thing. Fleetwood, Leeds, were next.
So it's looking like there will be a walk. It'll be towards the end of the season. There's nothing confirmed yet. I think they're going to announce something in the next few weeks. I think the favourite will be over the Easter weekend, which would mean Barnsley, but there's nothing set in stone yet with that. But basically, it's one of those where anybody can get involved. You don't have to do the whole thing. If it is Barnsley, not
would that be
close.
Long? Would that be that more miles wise than?
I think it's 58 miles again. Right, so it's the just same, in
slightly
same distance,
slightly different direction.
Yeah,
you
just go off a tangent, but it's about the same, and basically, so it is open to anyone. But, you know, quite a few kids did it last year.
Yeah.
And that's great. And like I said, well, talking about Daz Sefton, he had his missus with him and his two kids. And to be honest, we all helped each other, you know, they were pushing us on, we were pushing them on when they were struggling. Yeah. It's like, it's just great atmosphere, and no better feeling than when we turned up there. You know, I turned up, got the Billy Bremner statue, photographs, TV there. The Leeds fans, to be fair, were absolutely fantastic with us when we got there. You know, they were incredible, even trying to throw money at us.
No thoughts of walking.
During the game.
No thoughts of walking back.
No, well, not at the time there wasn't, but you know, I have my plans for my next walk, which may incorporate Barnsley. At the minute, I'm looking at a possibility. I've just got to sort a few of the logistics out, but the possibility at the minute that I may be doing coast to coast via Barnsley.
Okay.
So that's. It's still in the planning stage, but it's something I really like to do, and I'm very much aware that, to be honest, nobody's going to sponsor me to do anything normal anymore. So it's all about raising awareness for the charity and raising money for the charity. You know, to be fair, I mean, the charity this year has given £250,000 now to the research. There was 200,000 at the ball, at the Joseph's Gold Ball. In the last couple of weeks, they've donated another 56,000 or something like that. And the good news is that it seems that there's a lot of progress being
made.
That's
the thing, you want to see that, don't you? And I think that's when it really hits home what you're actually doing, doesn't it? When you actually see that that the research that they're doing and it's coming to fruition.
Just thinking if it is Barnsley on that bank holiday weekend, it'd be nice to leave from the QPR game at home on the Friday.
It would be, but I'm actually looking at doing it the opposite direction.
So
the plan is to leave maybe from Grimsby, from the football club,
because
it's right on the coast, and then head back this way. Nothing's set in stone on.
But something to look forward to. People can get training at least.
Well, I'm thinking of doing it this year, so I'll have to obviously stay off the beer and make sure it's certainly not something you'd be able to do with goats.
Exactly, but you know, to be honest, the exercise in the training will do you wonders, no doubt anyway. But I say it's one of those where people don't have to do the whole thing. People could do a day, 2 days or do the final stretch. Yeah. It's all about just getting people involved, and obviously the more people you get involved, the more sponsorship you're going to get, and the more the name's going to get out there.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
So You did your tweet, and it came to fruition. You tweeted again this season, Kieran. What's going on?
I'm like Nosferatu.
But it's working. It's working. If we need something doing, get you to tweet, it'll happen. Shay Dunkley.
Yeah, Shay Dunkley. So I'd actually seen there was somebody who'd tweeted, and they must be laughing now because they tweeted they're going to donate, I think it was a tenner for every goal that Kiefer Moore scored this season. So he's winning this one. So I thought, I can do something like that. And
take a safe bet.
It wasn't a safe bet because, to be honest, I think still before this season was one of our top goal scorers in the squad. But
he had a really good season in League One, didn't he? Yeah. I think he got a couple of.
I think it was seven, was it? Something like that. So I thought, I'm always looking to say something stupid where if it actually comes off, it will be of the benefit to us. So yeah, saying that I'd give a tenner to Joseph's goal for every goal that Dunk scored or every clean sheet when he started the game. And I think I'm 60 quid in
the we'll three in a row at all, haven't we?
Well, I had 30 quid just against Charlton with a clean sheet and
two goals.
And two goals. How about
your cursing Marshall at end?
Well, yeah, there was that. But no, to be honest, it's going to a great cause. I think this week I actually, the donation from the last one, I actually put to a Joseph's goal related item, which is. One of the kids who had NKH, Arthur, that unfortunately passed away this year, and his cousin is raising money to buy a bench in his name. So and he's doing a whole bunch of stuff to raise money. So I put that into him, but you know it's one of those. You sort of live and die by the tweet, I suppose, don't you?
That's yeah.
we'll look forward to the next one.
Might
get us a win.
I was threatening to sponsor us £10 per away win.
Would you even go per point? Away point?
No, I think that's
Mrs. Man killing.
That'd be seen as being cheeky.
We won't be getting too many Moretti's, would we?
No.
But it's one like, for me. It's a bit of fun. Unfortunately, it's cost me more, but not unfortunately because it's. Obviously, I'm not really going to claim it, but the coincidence of what I've said when I said it, and then.
Well, it's a couple.
To be fair to Dunks, well, he's with Mulgrew at the side of him, he's a better player than he was this time last year.
Yeah.
I'd suspect you could probably say. I think if Kipri was alongside him, I also think he would be better. I think Mulgrew. I thought Fox would be the man. To coach them through the game and help the because they did not play at this level, Dunkley and Kipre, but actually, Fox didn't really do it, did he?
No.
But the thing is, in a few weeks we're going to have Blackburn coming up, so Fox is probably going to have to sit into that role. So ideally, at some point we probably need to try and get him some game time.
Yeah.
Because we are going to need him at some point, and you've got to wonder.
I wish we've got a decent, more competitive on the 23s now, so you can ease him back in, play a few games in there, and hopefully get him up to speed. Because I think the Dunkley Kipri were not. I don't think anyone's really too convinced about that one.
No. So I'm just looking at your notes page there. Is there anything else that we need to capture in the Kieran Crompton section, or? Is the rest of your notes for possibly the next topic that we're going to move on to?
Oh, I'm happy to go with whatever you like.
Well, all right.
You're the chair.
Well, news was brought yesterday that Jack Ross has had his contract at Sunderland terminated, which has led to bookmakers, one particular one that sponsors the league, installing Paul Cook today as favourite to take over at Sunderland. First of all, guys, what's your thoughts on that? And
well, it's 2-1 favourite, which the odds haven't collapsed. Usually, if you've got a 2-1 front runner, they don't really have that much idea, and they're just having a look around to who potentially could be linked with it. Who's got a very good record in League One? Obviously, Chesterfield and clearly Wigan. You know, very very good solid record there, and also a few of his. A couple of his former players there as well, so there are some obvious links. I wouldn't read too much into it at this stage, but ironic that it's come at a time when arguably now he's under the most pressure from some quarters at Latics that he's ever, even probably more so than before that Bolton game last year when it was when we discussed it on the podcast.
Yeah.
I think he's it. So,
which then leads us into the next question. There's a lot of going around on social media of cookout. Especially following another away defeat. Yeah,
and a little bit now on the terraces, I believe, little pockets, occasional pockets on the terraces.
We had that at Hull, but I think that might be a special case because we had some special fans, I think, at that game.
What's the general consensus round the table? And I think we're asking this each week, but
Adam, just cook in, cook out.
Cook in.
Cook in, Kieran.
Cook in.
Cook in.
Yeah.
And it's same for me. I mean, I'll admit, I came away from Saturday's game on the phone to Barry. I wasn't happy. You know, I just watched my team lose again at Sheffield Wednesday. But I'm not ready for jumping ship because there is no one better to get in. But where does that fine line come in of it's been going on too long?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, we're spouting the away record. You got to look at that record and say it's abysmal. Yeah. And there's no hiding from it. So, but, you know, my point has always been, so far he's had two goals. First goal, get us out of League One.
Yep.
So we got out of League One. Last season, the goal, you know, and at the start of season, everybody would have said, you know, we finished one place above relegation, okay, and that's our goal.
And also with the change of ownership was difficult.
Exactly.
For him.
And we did that. And like I say, I'm not going to say it was easy, but at the end of the season,
the point suggested it was,
were clearly safe. Now this season, as I would understand it, it's about progression.
Yep.
You know, progression doesn't necessarily mean top six, but, you know, my idea of progression would be finishing 15th or above. You know, so anywhere in that range, towards mid-table, not looking over our shoulders quite as much as we were last season.
And maybe the also seeing the team develop as well. Yeah, maybe trying to incorporate a few young people. Yeah.
You know, they're giving him money to spend. And, you know, my view is he has to have at least until the new year. You know, we have to have until the new year to let the new players gel in. You know, some of them we haven't even seen yet.
Yeah.
You know, and so let's see where we are there, because I'm pretty sure, and I'm hoping it doesn't come back to our mouth, I'm pretty sure we're not being the bottom three by Christmas. And if things have gelled, and I'm looking back to pre-Chef Wednesday, in the previous five games we'd scored 8 points and lost one.
Yeah.
You know, and that was against the team relegated from the Prem. So for me that looked like an upturn in form. And again, we've lost against Chef Wednesday. In some cases, it's like the wheels have fallen off.
But there'll be a top 8 team then this year, I think, Wednesday. Yeah. I mean, you might not...
Like I said, it's no excuse to lose.
No, but...
But
what happens if the home form goes?
That's the issue.
What happens if the away form picks up?
Yeah.
But it's been a season, nearly a half, where...
It's been two seasons of quality home form.
Yeah.
So, I'm not disagreeing with you, but the point...
It is the whole, isn't it?
You can actually, for everyone... People will make their minds up.
Okay, well, I'll give you the next five games. Forest at home, Derby away, Bristol away, Swansea at home, Brentford at home.
Yeah.
It's 15 points.
To them.
No, I think... At home, we have to back ourselves at the worst at a draw.
Against anyone?
Absolutely anyone.
The annoying thing is we never really saw what could have happened in that Leeds game, because it was over after 15 minutes against Leeds. I mean, I know last season, but that was just one of those days that everything, because you walked there.
They were inspired.
Yeah, they were inspired.
I'd said all along.
Yeah, but that home game against Leeds, it would have been nice to see. We were on a relative high at that point, weren't we? And it would have been nice to see whether it was an even game or not. But the rest of the home form, Barnes was a bit dicey. But the rest of them, I still think we just about deserved to beat Birmingham in what wasn't a classic. Charlton, we were the better side. And Cardiff, I think, marginally the better side. And a very exciting attacking performance in that game with maybe some issues to deal with at the back because they were a new defence. But there's enough at home to say that the form isn't dipping. So it's difficult to see why it would dip.
And we had a period last season where the home form did dip, didn't it? You know, that saw us really plummet.
We lost 3 out of 4, I think.
Birmingham being one of those games, wasn't it? It was
2-3-0s in a row, yeah, against Sheffield United as well. And we lost that odd game to Derby when we were the better side again against with 10 men. So.
But I just feel that, you know, there are points there in those next five games. I just think we have to get behind the home and away anyway. You know, and I keep blindly going to these away games and paying the silly ticket prices we're being asked to pay. because I don't want to be the one that misses that.
You don't want to be me, who basically, I pretty much go to all the away games. I've very rarely missed, and I missed last season Stoke and Leeds, so I haven't seen us win a championship game away since Burton in January 2017.
I'm in exactly the same boat as Adam.
Yeah, so it's like it's all.
So if I tweet, if you two don't go to an away game and we win, I'll donate a tenner to Joseph's club.
Yeah, there we are. There we are. So, where's the next? I can't make Bristol away on the Sunday.
Well, I unfortunately, I've got quite a heavy Saturday booked in that day. I've got a beer tasting due, so I don't know. Bristol on the Sunday might be tough.
But we're going to Derby. Derby.
Yeah, I think I'm going to make the Derby trip on the Wednesday.
Looking at the team, what are the strengths of our team and the management and everything around there? Let's do a bit of a SWOT analysis of everything at Latics.
Well, do you think it's worth, because one of the things that he gets criticised for is the fact that he can't sign good players. He doesn't know a good player, so it might be worth looking at some of his signings.
So I think you start with Joe Williams. Class. He's looked good. I mean, I'll be honest, on Saturday, I found it was a bit of an enigma. As I've said, it ranged from a 9 out of 10 to a 4 out of 10 to a 9 out of 10 back to a 3 out of 10 within 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, but on the whole, I think it's positive. I'm a little concerned that he may be a bit too similar to Morsi in that he's, you know, the same sort of bitey, defensive, breaking up play kind of player. But at the end of the day, I don't mind that, but we need somebody who's going to be that link between. I think that's maybe where we're lacking through the middle. Somebody who's just going to maybe get the ball and run them. I know, you know, I've seen Sam Morsi do that before, you know, get the ball, run at teams.
Williams is a bit quicker, isn't it? So yeah. when he runs, I think he can.
And he's probably got a slightly better range of pass as well.
Yeah, but yeah, I know what you mean. They are very, very similar, but I think so far. Tick for him, definitely, Williams, isn't it, in terms of...
Yeah, Mulgrew, I don't think anyone can disagree on that one, and that's unfortunate not to be a permanent signing, but that might be something they look at.
Was it McLeod?
McLeod, yeah, McLeod. Disappeared.
So, Lewis McLeod, in pre-season when we played Burnley.
Yeah.
And I think it was McLeod and Morsi. I thought, well, this is it, because the first half in particular... I thought they absolutely owned it.
Played really well. He didn't do bad against, was it Cardiff?
Mm-hmm.
He did okay that first game.
And then I think played at Preston. Yeah. To be honest, didn't really do a great lot wrong for me, but he's not been anywhere near since.
But Williams came on and did all right, didn't he? And I think that Williams just played himself in, and he's even played Evans. You would think he's a regular.
But yeah. I still think Evans is actually a better number 10 than the midfield. I think he has a goal in him.
And
the links player, but he's not what you won't look at him and think, oh yeah, he's a number 10, he's a goal scorer. But it just seems when he's in that position,
well, best form of, apart from the first four or five games last season, was in the last seven or eight, and most of them games he played, leaving Powell on the bench.
Yeah.
So he thought at that time Evans can do a better job for me than Powell, and there is a role for him there, and he's another Cook signing, isn't he?
Yeah,
Evans,
yeah. Jamal Lowe.
Jury's out on him, isn't it?
I think he came with a lot of promise as well, but
yeah,
I just don't know whether something's lacking. What are we expecting from him?
I don't know, but I don't know enough about how he played when he was at Portsmouth.
Yeah, so scored more goals than he scored goals, didn't
he? You know, was he getting, you know, and again, is it to do with, for me, are we not getting from wide getting it to deep, then allowing that number 10 position or your other midfield attacking midfielders to actually get to the edge of the box?
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's where he's failing, because basically when he's got the ball, he's looking at players coming at him, isn't he? You know, he's having to be in the face, and he's not burning people on the outside, is he? He's not that type of player.
Well, I think it's way too early to write a player off.
No, but I think he's had some good games. I think he's had some good parts in games, and I think there's enough there. I think he has a little bit about him, but you know, at the end of the day, we need to start seeing some results.
Results, yeah. We're not saying.
Marshall,
good signing. I think he's improved us, because I just think he. in the long run, he'll be more solid than Walton.
Yeah, and I think as well you got a back five though with him in that is a unit or starting to become more of a unit. You know, I think Dewey's still out a little bit on Burn. He seems to be where they're looking to attack week in, week out, trying to get around the outside.
Been a good start. Was he a Caldwell signing, Burn? I think kind of Cook brought him back in because he went in the wilderness for a while under Joyce and that, but he came back in player of the season. I think he just struggles when you've got a really top class winger against him.
Yeah, and I still think, you know, with Burn, when I still don't think Gavin Mass is 100%. You know, he's really caught up.
People
that
turn.
Fitness.
People. He's another one, and people seem to turn on very quickly.
Well,
he
was the protection for Burn, I still think, you know, he was the guy who made Burn
a good player,
look really good, or gave him the opportunity to be good. And I don't think he's quite had the same protection in front of him that he's had previous when he's been playing.
Yeah. And then I guess the other one's Moore, isn't it, really? Because, I mean, you always look at, when you look at manager signings, you look at the big ones, don't you? The two big ones, money-wise for us, were Moore and Lowe. And I think with Moore, it's hard to criticise him because he's not really done a lot. Right, yeah. But then that probably leads on to your next analysis point, doesn't it, on are all the players playing in the right positions? Are we using them in the right way? And home and away, are we using them differently, home and away?
Yeah. Which is something to look at. Are we playing the right way? Are players playing right positions?
Yeah. The other one that gets thrown out there, doesn't it, which I guess is always important in analysis, that people often say, is that this guy, some people have said he's lost it now, the players are not buying into him. And I don't see, I've never seen that really.
I tend to hear the opposite. I think that he has a really good relationship with the players, is what I hear, and in some ways that makes it more difficult than for, if they decided they didn't want him to be our manager anymore, that would make that decision more difficult. But you got to think, I think he has a good relationship. I think any player would probably have to be themselves questioning why have we lost this many away games, you know. But I'm sure within the group they must talk about it, and you know they must turn their error trying to work.
Well, we talk about it all the time. They pick up at the Kendrick will talk about it. Every podcast that does Wigan will talk about it. It's just the Nationals will give the stats that Wigan have won in however many, and you just can't get away from it.
More than Man United have since March.
Well, what brings me on to my next point is there is now a chance next week for fans to have their questions and put their questions to Darren Roller, Jonathan Jackson and Paul Cook, who will be down at the fans forum at the DW next Tuesday. Tickets are free. And you can either call the ticket office number or visit the ticket office to pick up your tickets for that. So it's a good platform for questions to be asked. And, you know, there will be some tough questions going in, but it'd be nice to hear from the horse's mouth the vision and how they're looking at rectifying potentially any issues that are there.
Well, it's one thing that's come up, because people have talked about that, saying those who were basically criticising on social media, saying, well, go to the forum and, you know, ask the questions directly, and then you then get people saying, you know, it's pointless because they'll just screen the questions. I mean, I thought there was some probing one last year.
I mean, they've got to look at the questions, because I've been in the past where people have been asking, why does the ticket office not have fixture lists? That's not what they're there to be talking about and stuff like that, but that was taken up. And then you had the event where the Sky presenter was given a false name, wasn't he? I'm not going to repeat it because it means Barry might have to edit it.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's why they have a look at them. But
You mean Mr. Normus?
Mr. Normus, yes, yeah. So there's that opportunity. A bit more from the club. Kiefer Moore, Charlie Mulgrew, David Marshall, Gellhart, Weir, Joseph, Robinson and Jones have all got internationals this week.
along with Scott Smith, who's making his international debut at youth level. Under-23s are going to be playing at the DW Stadium on, I think it's around five games. We knew about the Liverpool game coming up in the new year, in the Cup, but they're also playing against
Burnley.
Burnley, yes, Burnley at home this coming Monday. The game is free to season ticket holders. If you're not a season ticket holder, it's £3 for adults and £1 for kids. I strongly urge anyone who can get down there to make it down there, support the under-23s, and you know, this is where, like, Joffrey's come from, players like that. It's a good chance to see.
2 days in a row?
Yeah, 2 days in a row, fans forum then, the day after. Bristol and Derby tickets are currently on sale. The Derby is midweek, followed by Bristol on the Sunday. Callum Wang bagged another goal for Shrewsbury, this time in the right net, whilst out on loan, so it's good to see him continuing.
Tony's one of the top scorers, isn't he?
Yeah, Tony's tearing it up. And James Aspinall kept a clean sheet for the City of Liverpool at the weekend, which is great news. The Community Trust have been nominated for the North West Football Awards. More details on that are found on the website. And yesterday it was announced that new directors have been appointed to Wigan Athletic, joining those currently in place. I think a few of them are replacements. They'll come with hopefully fresh ideas. And it's looking at a few of the profiles, it's looking about growing a brand abroad. Not really looked too much into it, because as long as the club's still running the right way, what does it matter to us on the ground?
I think we got an opportunity again to ask questions about that at the
forum.
Yeah, and there may be some, you know, there'll be something in the timing of the forum.
Yes.
You know, they, if there was something to hide, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't be announcing this.
I mean, these people will be
before the forum.
The people that they brought in will be trusted by IEC, and they'll be there for a reason. And I think one of them, you know, has looked at, they do promotions or something like that in Asia, so it's a way of growing a brand. You've got a big target audience there, so...
Well, the appointment of the key player, really, the day-to-day key player in Darren Royal, I think everybody who's met him and seen what he's done so far can see that was a very good appointment. Well, so you've got to have a good level of... We're almost pretty much a year on now, we're now to the day since the takeover. It's pretty much...
it's pretty much. I can't remember whether I was with you, Kieran, in one of the pre-season games, or whether I was with Barry... stood with Mr. Kendrick and Darren Royals in his Royal box, well, in the glass-fronted
box. The Royals box.
Gives us a wave, so, you know, it's nice to be remembered, and he's done, you know, stuff like with the Joseph Gill walk, so he's very much integrated. You get a lot of owners who just keep themselves separate, cause trouble, you know.
And at the end of the day, because in my view, we've got a good ownership structure, is that no matter what we think, you've got to look at, they'll also know what's out there, who's available, who we can afford, and whether those people are better than what we've got. And I think that, to me, at the moment, is the crucial thing. That, and whatever you think of Cork, is there anyone better?
Yeah, the one thing, you know, from meeting Darren, the one thing that really comes across is the calmness. You know, there's a real calmness to what he does and how he talks. And the other side of it, and, you know, I was fortunate enough after the walk to be invited to the boardroom for the Preston match, you know, with my family, and it's immense. But what he got was how much the club has grown on already. I know, I mentioned it in the Latics podcast, that one of the big things was in chatting to Darren's wife. He'd been to watch Everton beat United on Easter Saturday, and you know, obviously he'll have some Everton blood in there, and she said he got home and he just said, I can't get excited about that anymore. You know, it's all about Wigan and building it, and you know, that was really good to hear. You know, because you really get a feel that the club's at heart, and that's the
club. But he's also clubs that clearly, obviously, Sharp had the club at heart as well, and you know, never have anything against anyone associated with the Whelan family, but he was someone who was a bit more heart than head at times. Yeah. But naivety, because he was younger, which that's his mitigating factor. But I think some of the decisions that he made in his tenure here, you might look back on them now and think, well, maybe if Darren Royal and the ownership now had been in place, they wouldn't have allowed. So like the Nick Powell, for example, where, you know, clearly they had a very good relationship, Powell and Sharp, and it was almost like Powell was running the shot. Whereas with the Griggs situation, you know, no matter what the fans thought, that was the best decision for Wigan Athletic. We took the money. We had the money in the bank, which helps us with our transfer, Casey.
Well, that's it. And, you know, at the time when you're operating at £1 million a month loss, you've got to get some money in from somewhere. Because money runs out, doesn't it, as we all know. Looking forward to the weekend, obviously, internationals. You can either Friday night get yourself excited with the England game, or you could make a trip to Aspel to see Messrs. Jewell, Ellington, Roberts and Pascal Chimbonda.
I'll be there on Friday.
Is it Village on the Green?
Yeah, I'll be there with my questions ready.
Rolling back the years.
Some say it's the first meeting, Jewell and Chimbonda, since that infamous day in May 2006.
So many people are going to turn up with notes stuffed down the socks.
My biggest one is Ellington Roberts Premier League. How good would that have been?
We
saw it coming through.
We had this discussion the other night. Funny, I'm doing a run of four sort of these type of events. I went to the Windass one the other night, the Dean Windass one, which was really enlightening and really interesting about what kind of he was saying about.
Was Josh there?
Yeah, he had about 15 pints. No, he wasn't there. Before anyone says he wasn't there, but yeah, a really nice guy came across. And, you know, he was talking about Josh a little bit. But yeah, I mean, talking about partnerships, it was always, when they were playing, it was always a front two. You know, you wanted a front two. It could you always said, could they work in a partnership? Could they work in a striking partnership?
Do you ever feel that when we played with Ellington Roberts up front, that we were in trouble? Because, all right, we might concede, but you just felt, we'll score, we'll be all right.
He got a very interesting win, this is Jewell, towards the end of that season. He took Ellington out for just two or three games, just towards the end of that season. He'd had a bit of a barren run, and he brought Ormrod in, to just freshen it up a bit. And then Ormrod got called back, I think, from those days. He only had short loans.
Yeah.
Ellington scored at Leicester, I remember.
Yeah. And then Ellington came back in, and then obviously on that last day.
How fit him?
Yeah, he scores the, obviously at the time.
I'd love to know if Ellington, looking back, regrets.
I believe he does.
I've heard him before.
I went to a
few years ago. I went to a reunion of the 2003 team, I think it was, and I think he just said that he didn't really want to leave, but there was, you know, your agent drops in your ear, and you hear other things as well about
the money's on the table.
That's
your livelihood, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. I think it was just the money it was done in. Because what was it, £3 million? I think the insult is that. That one, because that was just a release clause, wasn't it?
That was our profit, though, because I think we then paid £3 million for camera, so we had that's the quid in bank.
Pound Baker get two pies in.
No, that's probably going, what you said, that's the one thing about Wigan I would have just really loved to have seen those two playing the Premier League.
All the hundreds of people that bought shirts in the Premier League with Ellington.
His return didn't go too well, though, when he came back with West Brom, and he was hauled off. Quite early, if I remember. But there's something to look forward to, Adam, and I'm looking forward to a bit of feedback, because we'll be recording a day earlier next week. We'll be recording on Tuesday. We'll be looking back at the under-23 games against Burnley, and putting a bit in, either probably after the fans forum.
Quick bit of news as well. Obviously, Joe mentioned the game. Joe Gellhart scored, didn't he, a couple?
Yes, against Liverpool. He doesn't score.
He's probably wish he hadn't.
Yeah. Well, the more we look at it, his value's got up.
Yeah.
Just keep those digits going up. Adam, have you got anything else you'd like to bring to the table? Any other business?
No, not really. I just think, you know, respect to the people's opinions about Cook. People are entitled to their opinions, but I think sometimes try and calm down, take a step back. He's not a clueless manager. That's one that there's no way he's been proven that he's a good manager. This stuff about, oh, anyone, I could have got us out of League One. Well, let's have a look at Sunderland, Sheffield United, Preston, Southampton, Leeds, Forest, all spent, Sunderland during the second season, most of them spent 2 or 3 years trying to get out of that division.
Yeah.
It's not just a penalty kick, and we did it with ease.
You did.
So for me, that's bought him his time. He's not perfect, but I don't think there's anybody better out there at the moment, and let's hope that we keep hold of him if they do approach him, which there's nothing to say that they will do at the moment.
No.
The good thing is, it's quite obvious where our issue is. So yeah. It's our away from. If we were having to look for what our problem is,
yeah, that's
then it's
a problem.
More of a worry, but it's blaringly obvious, but that's not saying there's an easy answer for it.
No,
but I think you'd have found it by.
Yeah, and you know what? I would be going down there, by this point, I'd be going down the route of we do something completely different. You know, we change our daily routine on the away games, or do some, you know, we'll all wear green tracksuits or. Just anything.
That'd be interesting to ask it at the forum, like whether they use, because I know they've got them in the teams now. The psychologists.
Yeah.
Whether sports psychology has a role with these type of things, because is it now got to the point where it's a mentality? You know, it's just in the minds, mindset. Because it's not that different home to away, is it? It's not like we're going to, you know, cauldrons like Galatasaray, is it?
Well, yeah, we're not going to the J. Baleman Stadium in Belgium, are we? You know. Well,
there's something in there, and you know, for me, things like routine. If we're doing the same thing, you know, we're picking up at the same point, we're driving, we're doing the same things, we're staying over, we're doing this, that becomes part of the norm. And so sometimes I think you just got to
break the norm.
Let's, you know, change something. And for all we know, they might be doing it.
So some get it at home, though, don't they, as well, where they really, you know, they pick up points on the road, and then there's something about playing at home that they can't handle. Yeah, yeah. That can happen to bigger clubs a lot, can't it? That they just can't.
Tends not to happen for this length of time, though.
No. No. Kieran, have you got anything else you'd like to bring in? Just keep glancing over your notes.
Yeah,
and
it's purely just, you know, anybody with any interest in the walk for next year, get in touch. Charlie, grab me on Twitter, or Paul Kendrick's always happy. Paul's just been away in the US at some conferences where they've been getting some really good feedback on what's happening around beating NKH, and you know, it's a big deal for this club, I think, you know, and the history that Joseph has, and that the scenes there with Boise at the FA Cup final. So, you know, it'd be great. And to be honest, it's an opportunity to make some lifelong friends. You know, that I've never looked back from.
I think I'll do. I don't have any friends, do I? I probably need to do it.
Yeah, it might make one.
You can find Kieran's Twitter handle on our social medias. He's got us into trouble last couple of weekends with the official club. So he tends to pop up when we.
I love you both, and I love the pie at night as well. You know, I've got my three faves. I mean, to be fair, I mean, we are blessed with sort of three very differing.
Yeah, podcasts. You've got a straight up official one, haven't you? Which is. Where, I mean, I know the pie at night, it's different in a way. It talks
totally
a bit of football,
yeah.
But it's more. It's more than that, isn't
that's
it?
That's what I brought the Moretti tonight.
Yeah,
to try and bring us.
Well,
into
look,
the
I'm just sipping this beautiful Moretti.
You know, they're doing a great job, so it's a complete.
No one's treading on each other's toes, and that's the good thing about it. So you could quite easily listen to.
And that's why I can get at least three nights of listening on my walking training. So it's great.
That's brilliant. Well, we wish you all the best. We'll probably have you on before we walk back. When, like I said, we announced that you were coming on, and everyone else announced that they weren't coming. tonight, but it's been great having you. Keep up the good work. Bar on Twitter, just stay away from us, please. Don't want any strongly worded emails in the morning from the club. But no, it's been great. I think we've had a good discussion tonight around some hot topics, and I think a lot of people in the heat of the moment have one opinion, but when you sit back and look at the bigger picture,
I was surprised at that time, because actually after. A very short exchange we had, I think it was on Monday, when you had a bit of time for things to sink in, and I thought you were going to be leaning towards the cookout.
No. So. Always believe. It's a difficult one.
I'm glad you remember the podcast.
We've got a new member of the podcast just joining us. What were your thoughts on the Sheffield Wednesday game?
What do you think of Sheffield, Chloe? What score was it?
One.
One. Go on, you can speak. 1-0, yeah.
Okay. Sam Morsey, if you're listening.
Hi, Sammy.
All right then. Well,
I get nervous being with big stars. Stars of the podcast world like us two, so.
Well, when you've got a dad like Kieran, though, you must be
used to all this stardom. So, if there's nothing else, it's a good night from me.
Cheers.
Good night.
Up the ticks.